Rich is on his way here. He's the chairman of this committee. But I know everybody's tired and want to get going. I know the weather is. So we're going to start. Hopefully he'll pop in any second. We have Toski.
No, that's the old guy.
I'm sorry. So you want to sit here away?
Drescher Malicki.
We have
Drescher Malicki.
We have Tom Malicki and Cara Widmer here. We do have, hopefully you're going to hand out a report of your findings and basically give us a presentation of what you found, and we'll take it from there.
All right.
Tom?
Let me give you a little background, what's transpired, what happened, what was good, what was bad. I think everything was pretty good.
Do you have a copy that you
need? We're going to get to the handouts in a minute, because I got more than one. I got it.
More than one, huh?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
But you know, this meeting should actually take place a lot earlier. And it was going to take place in November, but it should actually take place earlier than that. Most of our counties we kind of do in September. You have a September 30th deadline for the single audit. You met that deadline. It was very difficult to meet it because there's five entities that get reported within your county. One of the entities happened to be the nursing home. The nursing home financial statements weren't ready until that morning. So we scrambled around, and thanks to Carl and CJ, they were able to get the financial statement out on a timely basis. But a very difficult task. But beyond that, we will set protocol for next year. We've already started the planning today, this week, Monday, and we were here today, our staff was, so that this doesn't happen again. And we'll try to get dates with this committee, sort of an entrance date and an exit date. And the exit date does not have to be when the financial statements are ready. It can be when the drafts are ready, and then we release, so that this could take place sometime in September. Okay, with that, let's go. The way we're going to do this is we're going to have a handout which is going to talk about the financial statements. We have required communications to the audit committee, and then we also have two letters that we'll hand out right after we go through this presentation. The two letters are, one, the required communications. The second letter are a couple of management letter comments that we wanted to share with the group.
I just want to make sure that all my committee members get copies, and I'll make copies for anybody else that didn't get one. Because I think we can only ask them to bring 10 copies.
I'll save this for Rich.
Sure. Did you get one? And Elliot got one? Okay. And I will make copies for
Elliot. We have one more here that Carl, and I can share this one.
Yeah.
Does anyone need one?
No, we're good right now.
Yeah. Well, take that.
Well, Rich already gets here.
Can you send them to us electronically?
We can send them electronically.
And then we can...
We're not going to probably be back in the office till Monday, though, but well okay. You might have it. You got it on your computer? No, you don't. Jordan has it. Actually, I may have it.
I may be able to forward it once we get back to the hotel
tonight.
All right. So we want to read before we go to bed tonight.
Yep.
You're not going to want to read. It's all good news, for sure. You have very good news, so let's jump into it. I want to talk about the products of our audit, what we're doing, why we do an audit. I'm going to go through our opinions, the financial statement highlights, and the observations. I know you're already jumping way ahead of me.
Well, I'm looking at this print, and I'm thinking, we're supposed
That's
to read
why,
this?
No, you're not. You're supposed to listen to me.
Jeanette's well seasoned.
I like to read and follow what you say.
So we're going to go to that page that you're looking at, you're having a hard time reading. And I want you to say...
I think that's on purpose.
No, it's not really.
I'm only joking.
That's okay. Here's the thing that you have this financial statement, which was released in September 30th. In that financial statement, the only item that your auditors own, the two or three page opinion. Everything else is the county's. We help compile it, we go through it, but the only thing we own is that opinion. And what that opinion says is here is the first item, and I apologize, the size is a little small, but it talks about the responsibility and what we have a responsibility to do and why we're doing this. The first thing is, why do you have this audit? Well, people rely on your financial statements. You have federal government, you have the state government, you have bonded debt, so the investors in the debt. Sometimes your insurance companies want to look at it. The banks want to look at your financial statements. they're not going to look at CJ's and the commissioner's financial statements without some third party validating that the numbers. That's where we come in. We have a responsibility then to look at the controls, look at the systems, and develop tests that will give us the ability to say that the financial statements present fairly the financial position as well as the operations for the past 12 months. And that's when we get to the second page of our opinion. That's ultimately what we came to the conclusion, that in our opinion, based on the on our tests as well as the reports of other auditors, because there are other auditors that have also had to make a comment on the fairness of financial statements, we've came to the conclusion that these numbers do fairly state your financial position. And that's, you know, that's really what they call an unmodified opinion. Anything different than an unmodified opinion is not necessarily good. All right? So you're getting a good opinion. And the financial statements can be relied upon. So what's in these financial statements? What's the story that it's telling us this year? And I kind of want to, you know, do in a series of graphs here. The first one, and you're right, I should have these numbers, these pages, page numbers. But in the very first one, we have the general fund. If you go to the one that says general fund, revenues and transfers in versus the expenditures and transfers out. You can see here, we've been pretty close. The blue is the good stuff, and the red is the spending. This past year, all of a sudden, the blue was way ahead of the red. There's a reason for that. That was your Golden Hill transaction. And that's a one-time transaction. But you're going to see how it impacts it. As a legislature, one of your goals is to try to get the blue to equal the red over a long-term basis. Sometimes the red's going to be higher, the blue's going to be higher in other years. The reason is you're going to the expenditures too much, you're going to create a deficit. If you have too much blue, that means too many revenues, then you're overtaxing the population. So you're going to see where you're kind of at. If you go to the next page...
So Thomas, if I just interrupt, so what you're showing here is that pretty consistently the revenues and expenditures match, or within a
correct.
And you're small
see,
margin.
You're going to see that even further, Ken, on the very next page.
Okay, great.
If you look at the next page, you can see you're pretty close to that one. And when you start looking at, you know, $300 million budgets to get within 1%, that's pretty hard to do. I mean, you sit there and if people say, oh, you made $3 million.
So it's like budget versus the, you know, what we budget versus what we spend. We're
correct.
A real small percentage differential. It's a good
right.
thing.
Okay. Right. Like, so, you know, in the past year, if you first glance, you're going to look at it, you had $17.1 million of revenues over expenditures. And the reader that's not knowledgeable is going to say, whoa, that's way too much money. But now all of a sudden we had that one transaction, $13.8 million we received from the sale. We're down to $3.2 million. That's only 1% of our total budget. So that's pretty good planning, and that's about as good as you're going to get. So if you can stay within that margin, that's a very good margin to be within. If you look across the board, you can see when it goes to we're looking at the one that has the general fund revenues transfers out and transfers out ratio. You'll see at the very far column we're at that 6%, 1.058%. If we didn't have the Golden Hill transaction, that number would be about 1.01, very consistent with the other numbers. If you go over the 5 years, it's also about 1.01. You're not going to get much better than that. So you are achieving, you know, one of your objectives is to keep revenues and expenditures pretty close together. The next step we do is to compare you to, you know, some other counties. And I if there's other counties that this group wants to be compared to, get it to us. We'll be happy to compare you, just so you have some peer information. But again, if you look at that, your first glance in the green, Ulster stands out at 1.058. Keep in mind, without the home, you would have been at 1.01. So 1.01, you know, you're right in the ballpark with these other peers.
Why'd you compare us with these?
just basically size-wise, you know, there's really no rationale. We did it. That's why I said if there's ones that you compare yourself to that you think you're close to, maybe, you know, sometimes you'll do a county and then I find out that, well, that county doesn't have a DPW and this one does, and it's not comparable. Yeah.
So. I would think Broome and Oneida are pretty good comparisons. I know Saratoga is a very wealthy county compared to here, but
we're going to see the. Go ahead. There's a question.
Go on. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I think it'd be interesting to see the surrounding counties.
So, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We could do
that.
Orange,
Dutchess.
Orange
and Dutchess, though.
Yeah.
Twice as big.
Twice as big, different economies.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these were selected to be.
These were mostly your size. You know, like your budget. Kind of picked on your. Kind of picked based on your. A combination of budget.
Dutchess budget $700 million.
You know, kind of a.
Well, you compare us to Orange right now, we look well.
We look real good to a lot of them. Yeah, even compared to a lot of big counties, it look great.
But, you know, it's true that Dutchess and Orange are, you know, have larger municipalities and so forth. But then if you look at the full surrounding, you also have Columbia Green or, you know, Delaware, which are less populated.
Quite a bit small.
So
yeah.
Tend to have a regional perspective, so I'd be curious.
It's not difficult for us to do two sets, one for your surrounding counties, and then we'll do another set comparable size counties.
Thanks.
And we'll page them, too, so I can tell you. All right, so the next piece we're going to go to is your unassigned general fund balance. And it's, you know, there's a lot of fund balances in the county. The most important one to you is your general fund, because that's the one you're going to use when you're putting your budget together. You're going to have other fund balances. You're going to look at a financial statement. You'll see you have a deficit in the capital projects. That's just an accounting issue because you issued short-term debt, which creates a deficit. Not unusual. Your general fund, though, is very healthy at this point in time. You can see you've traditionally been around that 6-7% mark for the last 4 years. You received that new influx of dollars for the home, and now all of a sudden you have a 12%. That's a tough decision as to where you want it to be. I mean, I know you have a fund balance policy in compliance with GASB 54, but you may want to take it a step further to say, what should our percentages be, and let's forecast into the future as to, you know, how much fund balance we think we're going to use. 12% sounds like a lot. The GFOA right now recommends 16.67%, which is approximately 2 months of cash. A lot of places will sit there and say you should have at least 10 to 15% because you get a pretty good inflow of money on February 15th, because that's a lot of times when the taxes are due. So you need that cash for the first 45 days of the year. But I think if you go into start reading some of the GFOA literature now, which is based on national records, they have the 16.67%, I think, is their minimum. And then they say you should consider another disaster recovery issue. So, yeah. I mean, 12%, it's a feel good because of where we've been, but it's not necessarily, you know, you're not out of whack. Let's put it that way. You don't have a barrel full of money.
And I know the legislature had made some policy decisions with this budget where we're going to set up a tax stabilization reserve with some of this additional, you know, extra fund balance of wheel. Also, we're making some infrastructure investments and things like that.
Now, you're making a formal reserve that you're going to have to go through the state and get their approval.
It's done by local law.
So you're just it's a resolution. It's really not a reserve.
It's a state-authorized reserve.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you went with a total tax stabilization reserve, then there's certain elements when you can use that.
We know that.
You can't use it as far as... 2.5%
Yeah, we know.
Okay. All right, so we go to the unassigned, where you compare to your peers. Now, that's pretty impressive when you start, you know, looking at some. But a lot of this is because we have going on here in a state with the, you know, with the mandates we're receiving from the state, and then the double whammy that we're getting with the tax cap and the pressures it's putting on our county governments. People are eating up at their fund balance, and then
Orange County exhausted theirs this year. They've got zero.
It's scary.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, they made up $20 million in revenue.
And we're seeing that you know,
million here, million.
More and more of the county governments are you know, getting away from the that we're going to reduce taxes to we're going to minimize taxes and get into the framework that we're going to maximize our revenues, minimize our expenditures, and the tax is what it is. And I mean, to the logical thinker, you know, if your revenues are rather stagnant and you're getting hit, you know, with health care increases of 6% and 7%, and you're having a union wage scale of, you know, 3%, and then add another percent on there for the step increases, why would we think we can, you know, increase our taxes only 1.56%?
Yeah.
We have nowhere else to go unless we're we'll talk about it at the end. So anyways, you're at a 0.12% there, and you compare very favorably to your peers. And the bonded debt, again, you know, from an Ulster County point of view, you're in a good position in that you've cut your bonded debt from you know, not a lot, but you know, $6 million from 5 years ago, so about $1 million a year. You know, you're never going to get to your debt. You know, they have this debt margin, and it's like absurd because you're only at like 6% of the potential.
Constitutional debt.
When you're making your debt decisions, the most important thing is what is our ability to repay that debt. Right. All right. So $125 million to you might be the right number. Some other county may only want to pay $40 million. It's a debt philosophy also. A lot of places, as long as you're not borrowing for operations, debt's not necessarily a bad thing. You buy plow trucks, they're going to last 10 years. Why shouldn't the taxpayers over the next 10 years pay for it as opposed to taking it out of savings? Because they're going to get the value out of those plow trucks.
Plus, so, over the last few years, I think our bonding costs were lower than what the interest costs would have been.
Yeah. So, anyways, but when you compare yourself to other counties, you are a little bit on the high side. You know, you compare about the same as Oneida, but you're significantly higher than Rensselaer, Broome, Saratoga. Not necessarily a bad thing, just to...
We're geographically the size of Rhode Island. We have a lot more infrastructure than Broome, which is, you know...
I'm not arguing the rationale. I'm just saying it is... Mm-hmm. You know, there's good things when you do these pure things.
Sure.
You look bad.
No, but I think... But again, it's common sense, you know. Yeah.
And then we do it on a per capita basis too, just to kind of see where we're at. But on a per capita basis, where we have our debt per capita is about $696 per person in the county. And again, when you compare it to some of the other counties, it's a little bit higher. But you know, as long as you're bonding for the right things and you have the ability to repay it, there's nothing wrong with the debt limit, the debt level that we're at right now. When we get into these graphs towards the back here, the ones that have the lines, it's just showing you that most of our money is not from real property taxes. We get a pretty good chunk from the non-property taxes, which is essentially your sales tax and mortgage tax would be included in those items as well. You're going to see it at the bottom. You know, you don't get a lot from departmental aid. Your federal aid is down towards that bottom as well. You're going to ask a question.
No, I was just going to comment. I was like, the state aid, our total budget, it's like, you know, 10% of our revenues now. It used to be like 30. It's amazing how much less state aid we receive today than we did just a few years ago. And this also speaks to me about just how important the sales tax is to the county to meet our
obligations. Most important thing. But again, when you're looking at it from a Moody's perspective, they'd rather see you have property taxes because that's stable.
Yep.
Where the sales tax isn't predictable.
Yeah. There was a period, I think it was in 1999, when you kind of look at all counties, you know, revenues, you know, sales tax became higher than property tax for the first time on a statewide basis. About 1999.
Yeah. When we get down to here to the next page, you'll see that you rely about 23% of your revenues are coming from property tax. And that's pretty consistent right across the board. You'll see everybody's right in that ballpark, about 20 to 23%. So you're certainly not out of whack when it comes to that. And then we get into our expenditure cycle, and you know, you can see our social service programs are what drives us the highest. That's pretty, you know, obvious. Our employee benefits is the one that's growing the fastest. That's that blue line toward, you know, the third from the top. Now it's the second from the top. So, you know, we've actually reduced a little bit in some of these, but not in the benefits. The benefits line continues to grow, and there's really...
And I think when you look at 14, that'll change just because, I mean, we have a third less employees, especially with the transition of the nursing home. So while benefit costs like pension, things are beyond our control, we have a lot less employees, and that's where that you'll start picking that up.
Yeah. But overall, the financial condition, you know, it's stable. Your use of fund balance, one of the things we look at is, you know, we want to make sure that now that just because you have, you know, $13 million revenue item, that you don't add a expenditure line in your budget for $13 million, because that's a one-time item.
Yeah.
Right.
No, wait. I mean, yeah.
Only to be used for probably a one-time purpose if you have a bridge or something that you need cash for immediately, and something like that, a non-recurring item. What I'd like to do now, you know, I'm not going to go through the entire report. That's the most important item on there is your fund balance, your expending line, and how you're doing compared to other things. The reports are, you know, public information. They're on the website as well now. And,
yep.
You know, so if anybody has questions during the year, or you get a question from one of your constituents, you know, feel free to call us. Don't have the constituent call us, because we work for you guys, not nothing. Because we've had taxpayers call us, and then we kind of, you know, say, well, really, we're not supposed to be, because that would be really a long day if they all called.
We got a couple might want to call you.
I know. But what I'd like to do now is briefly go through our auditor communication letter. And this is just a letter that we have to do in every audit to make sure that you're... what it is if there was anything, let's say there was a fraudulent act, we have a responsibility to tell this committee. Let's say management is changing their accounting policy. Last year, they were booking revenues after 45 days, and this year they decided, hey, we need to bring in more fund balance, so we're going to say anything that comes in after 120 days is revenue, right? They could do that, and you wouldn't know it. We have to tell you guys those kind of things, all right? That's one of our principal responsibilities, is that if management's doing something that's irregular or non-standard, that we have to tell you. There was none of those things that went on. If we didn't get cooperation from somebody in the county, we have to, again, the responsibility under our rules and standards to let this committee know. I mean, it's not just finance, it's the controller's office, it's social services, it's any department that we visit. We have that responsibility. There was none of that. Ultimately, you know, this letter has, it's basically a what we would call a clean letter.
You all have copies?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hand
them
out?
There's one on the ID.
I'm going to ultimately.
Oh, all right. There's three more, aren't there? There's three of them.
I'll walk you through just by title. You know, the responsibility in relation to the financial audit, that's the same responsibility that we talked about in the audit opinion. We did our audit consistent with what our scope was going to be. Our plan didn't, our actual actions didn't change from what we planned it to be. We were, you know, the engagement team and everybody, you know, in our team was compliance with all, you know, with all ethical things. There was, you know, we're not sitting there and making cash contributions, and we're not doing things of that nature that by either fact or appearance could look bad. The qualitative aspects of the policies, the significant accounting policies, on page 2.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm sorry, I was stuck on a first page.
Yep.
I see where you've provided comments regarding other matters noted on our audit in a separate letter to
yep.
you.
That's the next letter. There's two letters we're going to go over. This is the first letter.
Oh, because I haven't seen that. So.
These are drafts, by the way. Because the way our firm works is we don't release these until they go to the audit committee first.
Okay.
And then these have been the same since back in September, but we just haven't had the opportunity
okay.
to be here.
So oh, all right. Okay.
Because
I got it.
If we come to that management letter and there's... Well, when we get to the management letter, I'll explain that a little bit
okay.
more, and then I'll have Carl kind of walk you through it. But in this, I thought maybe that was somebody whistling. But
I thought Rich was getting our attention.
On page two, oh, come on, how do you think that makes me feel? On page two, the qualitative aspects here, that's the things that I talked about. If management decides to start changing rules and regulations, we have to tell you about it. There wasn't really anything there. Inside here, we talk about, you know, changes in the accounting standards. That's just natural. It's something that happens. The significant difficulties. There weren't any significant difficulties. Uncorrected and corrected misstatements is on the next page. And if we proposed a journal entry, and actually there were only two journal entries that were made here, and I think they both related to the sale of the home,
yes,
the residual equity transfer. Those were both accepted. If we gave a journal entry and they did not correct that would be an uncorrected error. That kind of we have to let you guys know about that, even if it's a small dollar item. There weren't any. There were no disagreements with management. We received all the written representations that we required from management. Sometimes, on the bottom, we have to say if there was any kind of consultation with other accountants because they didn't like what we were saying. That we weren't aware of anything like that. There were a couple of adjustments made to the prior periods. And again, it was nothing that management dictated. It was all dictated by the changes in the accounting standards and the accounting statements that you didn't have a choice. You had to change the way you were accounting. So, again, this letter is a required letter, but there is nothing in here of adverse nature. Now I will distribute that second letter, which is what we call the management letter. Now, the management letter becomes that our only responsibility in the letter, we don't even have to issue a management letter if there aren't any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. The only thing we have to report are material weaknesses, significant deficiencies. There were none. Okay? So then we come down, and when we meet with the client, we say, okay, these are items that we found. And we talk about these items, and Carl will kind of walk you through each one of the items. The first page is boilerplate, but these items are out there.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Unless I'm reading it wrong, on your last page of the previous document, and it may just be mine, we have identified the existence of a material misstatement and misclassifications that affect the prior period financial statements.
That is correct. That was those were the ones that were made because the standards changed. So we've identified these because
it sounds fairly dramatic, but it's not.
No, okay. Because see what happens once it refers to specific guidance in the standards, GASB 65. That the GASB 65 is a new standard. So okay. The old statements had a change, the beginning file.
Because generally, to an attorney, when you say material misstatement,
yeah,
you react a little bit.
It's scary. It's scary.
Okay. Thank you.
it's a good comment. So we go to the management letter. So as I was saying, the contents of this management letter does not have to be issued. All right? That's why we're here. I mean, I want to bring it to the attention of the audit committee. But if there's something in here that's going to be misunderstood, maybe by the public, or it's going to cause the cost-benefit equation isn't there, like it's going to cost more for the county to do something than the benefit involved, there's no reason for it necessarily to be in this letter. Now, if there's like a big argument as to what's going to be in there, what's not going to be in there, then we'll kind of make the call. But if there's something in there that is a group consensus decides this is irrelevant and doesn't have to be included in there, we certainly would consider removing it because we have no required material weaknesses and no required significant deficiencies. These are just observations, and our goal is not to impair the government.
They're opinions. You think it'd be better if you did it this way than the way that you did it.
Right. Right. But I also don't want it to become an issue that's going to cost time and money to the county. So, Caroline, you can probably read through them.
Sure.
You're already falling asleep for me.
Yeah. The first item is actually an item that we've seen, or you guys would have seen in this letter, I think the past 2 years it's been in there. It's simply the recommendation to review your policy for revenue recognition. The county does utilize a 60-day cutoff period for property taxes, but then when you look to all the remaining revenues, they accrue at a full 365 days for the year.
The problem is that in government accounting standards, you're only probably supposed to do 2 months or 60 days with certain exceptions. So you could, but what you're doing is you're having everything 365 with certain exceptions going the other way. So you probably want to visit that, and we'd be happy to sit with somebody and give them ideas and recommendations if that's something you want us to do.
Yeah. CJ, what's your opinion on that?
Well, that's definitely something we can review with the commissioner. We're definitely open to a policy. It's a matter of probably a discussion we'll have to take place on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next one, we took a look at the allowance for doubtful accounts, and this is specific to property taxes when you have receivables sitting out there for taxes owed. We kind of dug into, how do you come up with this number? And the response was more so past practice rather than, here's a policy, this is the methodology, this is the calculation. So we reviewed the number, and the number appeared reasonable. That's why we were able to keep it as just a suggestion rather than a required finding. But we did recommend that the county revisit its calculation and, formalize a methodology, get it down on paper. So, what if someone new were to come in? They might not be able to follow what's going on. So it's really just a simple suggestion to take a look at the methodology and calculation.
Yeah, if I could also comment, too, to the committee, if you recall during the budget process the last 2 years, O'Connor Davies had a different methodology they used for the tax overlay, right? And then mm-hmm. 1 year they made recommendations to increase it. We looked at their procedures. We kind of followed that this year. Then they recommended that we lower it. So I think it's one of those things where there's inconsistency across governments. Depending on the auditor that's involved.
Can I ask? Have you looked at other counties that have a specific methodology?
Yes. And it goes into, I'm not adding all this word by word, but you could look at taxes that were issued in 2010. What have your collections been to date? And then you kind of can apply a percentage to those receivables that were dated 2010. And then you might have a more beneficial percentage to be applied to 2011 because it's more recent. People might be more apt to pay on those. Yeah. So there's not one right way.
Right.
It's really county by county.
On a trending experience rate.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever had a problem not, budgeting enough or having enough to meet the overlay. It's just that, is there a formal procedure used I think it's based upon just the cumulative experience of the finance department and the way that they've calculated over, for a long, long period of time. So
is there a reason not to have a formalized
I don't want to speak for the commissioner,
I actually spoke with the commissioner about this. Actually, I think during the audit when you brought this up, and we're definitely open to some suggestions and ways that we can even simplify the calculation
right.
or
yeah, we'll
things
show
like
you a couple
that.
Alternatives
so,
that other
yeah,
counties
we're
are doing.
Kind of looking forward to that. So
okay, that'd be good.
Yeah,
write it down,
bro. All right. The next one is a suggestion to take a look at the procedures surrounding journal entry review. Currently, the county's policy only requires an independent review and approval of an entry if the entry involves a cash account. There's also, and we're not talking about reviewing every single journal entry. That would be crazy.
Yeah, not
right?
standard.
There's many.
Entries. We're talking about non-recurring.
Right. Entries. Non-recurring, non-standard, true adjusting entries to include those types of entries in the policy for obtaining an independent review and approval. There's some support behind the entry, so someone other than the person preparing that entry could understand what happened,
and understand
the business purpose. And
I believe that with the implementation of the new financial system that we did this year, that process pretty much has been built into the way that it works, where it's originated.
Whoever puts in the journal entry cannot post it. That's the way, one of the things that I set up in New World.
So this is like our old financial system, and it's where we didn't have a lot of functionality versus what we have today.
This.
Yeah,
we did. Yes, for 14.
It really is a whole new world.
Yeah, right? To actually have a computer system that actually does what we need.
I think a lot of this was a limitation of the old financial system. That's one of the roadblocks.
And the reason journal entries are so important, I'll tell the committee, is because if someone is committing a fraud, let's say they're opening up envelopes and they're cashing checks in their name, they can get away with that. But the only way they can get away with that is if they somehow get that receivable to go away. So the way they get the receivable to go away is credit the receivable, and they'd have to debit an expenditure or a revenue. See, they could be making a journal entry, and nobody would catch that. Mm-hmm. But your new system will account for that.
It would flag it. Wouldn't allow it to occur, right?
And provide an internal control. So that journal entries are important. All those frauds back in the late 80s and in the 90s, I guess it would be 90s in the Adelphia, those were all caused by people making journal entries. So that's why accountants have to look at
that. That's been fixed in the financial system.
Huh. Tom, you want to just include that into your report here, that's been addressed?
Certainly. Actually, for the first two, we'll actually include that the commissioner's office will consider alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next one on here is regarding the process surrounding bank reconciliations. This one, by county charter, the commissioner of finance is charged with maintaining the actual money. However, it's the duty of the comptroller to perform the bank reconciliation and reconcile those cash amounts to the amounts included on the county's general ledger. We identified some deficiencies in that process, but there was some lack of supporting documentation, timeliness, approval, and in speaking with both parties, there were, there's some areas that just haven't been resolved. So without, we can't be the people to say this is how to do it.
Yeah, we're not saying there's weaknesses in the internal control, but there's certainly some, the duties are nebulous as to, and I think you just need to get that resolved at some point, if it can't be resolved.
Right, the responsibility is clear under the charter, but you're saying there's nebulous in how it's been implemented.
Elliot?
As a matter of fact, there is a memo in the county executive's hands today addressing the issue, so I also feel that it is being addressed by both the commissioner of finance in my office to remedy this problem.
Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right now what's before us is a little vague. I mean, this is vague. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you to explain this a little bit more.
I mean, you're hired by the legislature. I mean, I'd love to, have you explain this a little more, because I don't really know what this means. And a deficiency is a weakness. I mean, it's sort of a...
I guess that's probably wrong. Yeah, you're right. The reconciliation, first of all, I guess, the main concern is the timeliness. Certain reconciliations, and Carl, you probably have your computer, and you can probably go to the actual, points of record if we had to, but there's some delays in the bank recs. Bank recs are, you're getting your bank rec on probably the 7th, 8th day of the month. Our expectation is that they'd be done by the 15th. That wasn't happening on a consistent basis.
When is it happening?
Do you have recollection?
Not exact dates, but
usually the 20th. By the time the information gets us, we're on the 20th. I think it's according to the memo we placed.
Then there's reconciling items on there that you're okay. And it's not unusual to have a reconciling item, but if the reconciling item stays on there for multiple months. Oftentimes, what happens is you remove that from the bank rec. Some of these have extended for multiple years.
Seven years.
Well, give
seven
us
years.
An example.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A check that was written and never cashed.
Correct. And it's been on that bank rec for 7 years.
Correct.
And so the finance commissioner is the one that...
I'm not sure who's supposed to write it off. It's on there, but what we're suggesting is that it come off after... Most checks are saying you can't cash it after such and such a day. You only get
90 days or 120 days.
You know, and we have checks on there for 7 years, and we need somebody to be authorized to say, let's remove that. And if you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to remove it. You don't have to make an entry against cash. You could keep it in a, you know, keep that in an agency fund or an account set aside. But get it off your bank record, because it makes your bank reconciliation more difficult to do when you got these other checks that just keep
paying
forward.
So how is this, Elliot? I don't understand.
So
you
our responsibility is to reconcile. In other words, the Commissioner of Finance keeps the checkbook, and we should be getting the statements and the checkbook to reconcile it. Some of the recommendations that we have made, as a matter of fact, it even speaks to this one over the course of conversation, was that some of these outstanding 7-year-old checks that have not been cashed should be written off. We also had recommended a reissue of some checks. We spoke to the State Comptroller's Office about the unclaimed funds aspect of it, too, and they've chimed in on it. I think where we're at right now is we have a great opportunity. We have a good conversation going back and forth between the commissioner, the executive, and my office to come to a prescribed resolution for all of these problems that will be memorialized in a memo. Bert and my deputy are meeting tomorrow to hash it out, and it'll be part of the policy. So the charter affords the comptroller the opportunity to prescribe the methods of accounting. And this has been an issue that has been ongoing since 2009. And it's been memoed to not only our current auditors, but our previous auditors. But I think we've gotten to the point now with a meeting of the minds of where we will come to an agreement that will be specific and written so that the Commissioner of Finance has an understanding of what should be done with situations like these uncashed.
But I don't ever recall that conversation.
What is the hesitation on your end, if his job is to reconcile, and it is a prescribed period of time, and you don't agree upon the period of time to, you know, release those checks or put those checks in a different fund? I mean, what are we talking about?
I spoke with Tom this afternoon about the writing off the checks. We never actually had the idea of putting them in a separate account. We in the finance department have kind of, we don't like to write things off, especially cash, being since that cash is somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have to find that cash. So that's kind of one of the big things. So by putting them in a separate account, kind of, then we can kind of work on those. But cleaning up the bank racks, that's a great idea that Tom had. So that's just an idea that I don't think we ever had, or the comptroller's office, but it was a great idea.
I have to tell you, I think that there is a confluence of understanding between both offices on this, and I credit Drescher Malecki coming in and looking at it and saying, you know, that there can be resolution, and the resolution could be just a clear policy going forward of what is the expectation when it comes to things like that.
So there's a resolve probably going to take place tomorrow, correct?
I would love it to have taken place last year. I mean, that's how long we've been dancing with this thing. I think I think based on the memo, we're very close to it, and it should be actually, it may even be a suggestion of policy that goes to the legislature to set the policy. But once internally we tweak it.
December 31st, yeah. So we don't have to put it in next
okay,
year.
Okay, that
were
would be
you ever aware of such a thing?
Well, and if I could just do it, Bert's not here to respond to it as well, but again, I think that we're trying to work through it. You know, there's some issues that seem like there's some easy things to ways to address it that are new, but there are also some issues that I think are, you know, more fundamental that, you know, again, we'd be happy to work with the audit committee as well too to resolve them. Again, it's just we're a relatively new government, and there's some, you know the charter, you know, sets forth responsibilities for the various departments and the controller, and you know, I don't know if it's confusion or
I wouldn't even say it's confusion. I would add to it. On top of everything else, we changed financial management systems, which was we went from an antiquated HDE system to a current New World financial management system that I think will afford the commissioner's office an opportunity and our office an opportunity to communicate much more easily through the financial management system to get these issues off. So I think we're really close.
Yeah, and I would encourage the audit committee to stay involved in these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tracy?
I mean, I'm just to backtrack for a second, I'm happy that you are identifying even smaller deficiencies, because I think it makes us better, and I'm happy to hear that we're working towards some resolve. But just from my own understanding, two small questions. How much money are we talking about in these checks that haven't been cashed for years and years? I mean, I don't know. Are we talking about $50? Are we talking about $500,000? I mean,
there's definitely none that big. A lot of them are payroll checks, mm-hmm. which one of our duties is to continue to track down these people. Why are they not cashing their paychecks? A lot of them don't work for the county anymore. So we send them letters every year asking if we can reissue them checks, where the new addresses are, where we can send them checks. Unfortunately, the state comptroller does not, they won't take that as unclaimed funds because it's not county funds at that point. It's payroll. It's somebody's money. So that's something that's one of the big hot topics that we have, and we're still working on how.
But that's what I mean. Like, how much money are we talking? How many examples? I mean,
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's thousands, I would say. See,
it's a couple thousand.
It's not hundreds of thousands, but it's thousands when you add up all
between 50 and 100.
It's a small issue, and then also I believe some of them are checks to public assistance recipients as well too. I think that there's an issue there as well. So
how does fit in? I'm just trying to figure out, Elliot. You said something that. There was already something sent over to the executive.
Well, we've been working on this probably for the last 4 or 5 years.
I don't ever recall a conversation. And I've been on Ways and Means. Have you, Mr. Chairman?
It's been an internal, and it's well documented in a series of memos that go as far back as 2009 between my office and the Commissioner of Finance's office. And it's been a bone of contention that has lasted this long. But I think we're really close. But basically what it is you get a checkbook.
We never knew anything
At the end of the month, you look to reconcile a checkbook. You hope that you get to zero. I mean, that's how we do it personally. And what corrupts the problem are things like these outstanding checks and how to write them off. So there is probably $50,000 sitting there in internal uncashed checks.
They go back a lot. But again, maybe the answer isn't to write them off, but to segregate them.
Sure. Not a bad idea. Great compromise.
Yeah, so
there you go. Manager Joe, you had a question?
Just a possible suggestion, and that is that, sometimes I get checks that it says the check is not good after a certain amount of time. You still have to account for it, but it may, especially if it's mostly payroll checks, it may reduce the tendency to forget to cash it.
Do our checks say that or no?
Some checks does have a time frame on it.
No, but I'm saying do our checks that we issue say?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't think a payroll check, you could put it there.
Yeah, I think the Department of Labor has very specific regulations.
And also, I mean, to that end, too, man, I mean, I just because sometimes I can be a flake personally with dealing with, I do all my father-in-law's accounting, and every now and then I'll get a piece of mail that I haven't seen, and it's past that time, and I just write the company, and I say, the check that you wrote us, I'm 6 months past the date. They send me a new check. I send them the old check. They send me a new one. So it goes to the point of not being able to easily write it off, even though the check says it's no longer good. Yeah. And when I ask for the money, they give me the money.
I mean, this is a little different than your personal. I mean, this is something that I think plagues government. Across the state.
I think you're on the right road of trying to resolve this thing. I think a third account of some type might be the answer to this. Look at it and come back and make a suggestion.
There's some other issues that are, but again, I know the memo just came over with some suggestions, and we like some of the ideas. We did like some of the ideas, so we commit to work through it.
All right.
So our response is that the Comptroller's Department and the Finance Office are
remedying the situation.
Remedies, and they're going to make a
process of the remedy.
They're going to make a recommendation to the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee will make the final stamp on it.
Good.
Right. The next item.
I just gave it to him.
the next item here actually was, it should be stricken from the letter. This was included in the letter after some preliminary observations, and we had some communications with the finance office subsequent to when this was written, and things were clarified. So this will be omitted from the letter.
So clarified to your satisfaction.
Correct.
So this wasn't.
Excuse me?
You're saying because that's not the case?
The same individual does not receive and make the deposit.
Right.
There was another check in there that we weren't aware of.
The next item
also may have been in last year's or the letter 2 years ago, just regarding policies surrounding capital assets. In our look at capital assets this year, we noticed that there weren't any deletions of capital assets other than within the roads category. The roads category is more of a methodology deletion that we spoke with the commissioner's office, and they're going to review items such as the useful life of roads and keeping track of them. But the main issue here is putting together a disposition policy that would encourage each department to communicate with the finance department and report items that have been sold, disposed, deleted. You know, when you have however many millions of dollars capital assets, not seeing any items disposed of in a given year is a little tough. So I think it really just needs to be encouraged, a more periodic review, and just take, you know, take an inventory from each department, even if it's verbal the first year, just to get it going, and then perhaps, you know, get something formalized each year, written down. This was acquired, this was disposed. The next item is we took a pretty in-depth look at IT, and we are looking forward to the new financial system, to say the least. But a couple things that can be incorporated into the new system is taking a look at formalizing a disaster recovery and backup procedures. It's something, you know, each audit will ask, could we see the policy for these things? And they weren't available. So that's not very difficult to come up with. But yeah. Just a suggestion.
You recall we really started a process. I believe it was last year we hired a consultant. There's been a lot of work going on. We're not to the point where, you know, we have it all together yet. Plus there's a lot of change, you know, happening again. You know, but the good news is the main financial system is pretty well protected because it's, you know, it's not housed on site, you know. So, but again, it's an area we've been working. You know, it's one of those, you know, does it cost more to implement than the type of a
Tracy?
Just from my part, does that mean you say we're working on it? But does that mean we currently don't have any backup procedures, or we just don't?
We have procedures. There's not a formal policy.
It's not formalized.
Yeah. Yes, we back everything up, and you know, but there's a disaster planning element that comes into it, and it's been worked on in particular in earnest since you know, the major hurricanes and the 500-year you know, weather events we've been experiencing. So,
the last two items on here, we have borrowed from the state comptroller and also the GFOA, and have been providing them in, you know, most of our management letters to various counties, just as a FYI, basically. The first one here, implementing OMB uniform guidance. This is in reference to the single audit, and that's a special audit that the county is required to receive based on spending more than $500,000 of federal funding. So the OMB issues the guidance. It's the big pamphlet that issues all the compliance requirements that you have to abide by and that we look to test your spending to. They will be issuing new guidance. So this is just an FYI for those who, you know, are heavily affected by it, DSS, just to get the word out there. I believe that drafts are available online, so they could start preparing if there's going to be different requirements.
I think one of the key things in here is distributing this information to your departments that receive federal aid in case they give out awards to subrecipients. Sometimes a community development program will give out block grants to other communities. There's specific things that have to happen in those agreements that's outlined in this now. So you want to make sure that you're covering that.
And the last item here is just encouraging the county to keep check on those banks and financial institutions handling the county's funds. You know, making sure that they're maintaining adequate collateral, that they're upholding the reputation and the relationship that you guys set up when you entered into an agreement with them. You tend to see sometimes you get comfortable with the bank and there might be something better if you just looked elsewhere, or reminded your current banker, they do this, why don't you? Or you cost this much, they cost that much.
It works with auditors too, by the way.
Yeah. You saw that.
So this is just something, a recommendation to revisit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not a slap on the wrist by any means. It's just something to bring up.
Do you also recommend reviewing the collateralization as part of that?
Yes. The problem with the collateralization, usually by the end of the year they have everything fully collateral, but they're supposed to have that collateralized at any given time. And what happens is sometimes you'll look at that. It kind of moves. They sometimes use a smoothing effect, and you're not collateralized at a certain point in time. Again, and what are the odds of that? But if everything ever blew up, and they'd say, where were you?
So that is it for the items. That last page is just a forecast for the new GASB pronouncements that will be affecting the county in the coming years. So for this fiscal year, 14, we have 67, 69, and 70 to implement.
Those are all for procedure. And that's why you guys have to send them to class, to seminars, so we can learn these things.
Okay.
I hope it's not Las Vegas.
Online or
is it going to be over at Tops College?
I think Albany's here.
What's that?
Albany and Syracuse.
He says that's why you have to send us the seminars so we can learn these.
I'm very willing to send everybody to seminars.
We'll do webinars.
All you got to do is ask.
That's what's needed.
All you got to do is ask, right?
That's it.
I didn't know that was. I didn't really. That was a part of their scheme.
Right inside.
Sorry, sir.
Inside
joke. No problem.
We're establishing a club for policy.
We are setting a policy tomorrow night.
But we did enjoy our relationship here. It was kind of helter-skelter.
What, it ended? It ended?
The 12/31/13 did. We're started the 12/31/14. So now we want to clean these all up in the next 23 days or so, 22 days, so that they don't repeat.
So we don't see them again.
Get your conversations going here between these two parties.
You know, I know that when you had made your initial presentation to the audit committee, you talked a lot about the comparison to peer counties. I thought that was a nice piece. I know we're doing well, but it's nice to see us compared to.
Well, next year we're going to compare you to Orange County and Dutch.
Yeah,
and we'll continue with this.
We're going to look good against Orange County. We're going to look awesome.
Well, we should meet with
Rockland.
Again, I'm not used to seeing that in a presentation from the
Rockland.
Does this committee meet periodically?
Really?
We met because of the function of the audit.
Okay.
We met probably just about the fourth time, I would think, this year. But we didn't start so.
I guess the fifth time.
Fifth time, sorry.
Could we would like to meet one time towards the beginning of the audit, and then it's probably not necessary to meet again until the audit is near conclusion, but I would like to set those dates ahead of time so we don't run into this situation.
Well, I would suggest, Tom, that you have a contract for three-year term. Each year has to be renewed. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest strongly that you submit a letter saying that you would like to proceed for the next year at the price that was contract price,
okay.
And that would be acted upon.
We got last year's engagement letter today.
No. You get the check with it too?
Actually, I think the contract is it might be written for 3 years and then with the options, but whatever. We'll
I think it's
like
a 1 year option for the 3 year period of time, if I'm not mistaken. It's whatever, but just put it in motion, write it, and then the audit committee will probably sit down, probably, I would think, would hire your firm for the next year, that. Yeah. And then there again, we would have something from you stating that you would continue to do it at that price, and then it'll go through the full legislative body. So move that along so that we can get that going.
Okay. And that communication should go to the chair?
Go to Victoria.
The clerk of the legislature.
Well, attention, Rich Parody, chairman audit committee.
Whoever.
That's.
Yeah, I think so.
Those assignments could change, right?
It could.
Yeah.
Just get it to
depending on the chairman.
The clerk of the legislative body.
We're going to get it out Monday. It's still going to be in this year.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Can I just have a copy of that?
Thank you for taking the time.
Thing you handed out.
This guy?
He was wrong.
You have a copy of
this? That was the only thing I could
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
This is after 23 years.
No. Lucky we didn't wait.
Nobody texted. I think it's tomorrow night.
Oh. Thanks. It's tomorrow night.
And he called before. I told for one. I said, make sure you tell him it's tonight. She thought I was kidding. He thinks it's tomorrow night, this meeting.
I just want to say,
we just went over a
$330 million budget and recommendations in an hour.
He was talking to me about it, and he said, practice is over by now, and we don't have dual meets on Tuesday nights.
I said, why is it so late, 7 o'clock?
I know you can't support Russian base, but I'm putting in a policy automatically adjourning meetings after 2 hours. That's dead serious. 100% serious.
I'm just saying what was on the text.
Who's our appointment on this committee? Is this every year we have to be appointed? Or
I bet I would be willing to bet
how
you.
How is that? What is it?
You know what it might be in the charter?
Specifically,
this is the only committee that's mentioned in the charter.
It is, because it became part of the new charter language.
Right. I don't know.
But it would be a shame for us to know all this stuff and then have all new people.
It probably is a yearly appointment.
It's a bell curve. And
then
once you get over 2 hours, the effectiveness of the meeting goes way down.
Okay, good night.
Good night. I've experienced... I would rather meet twice a month than once for 3 hours.
I would rather meet once for 3 hours.
Always a pleasure.
I think I'm with you, Ken.
But you have to think of your carbon footprint.
All right, I'm going.
I've got a pretty large carbon footprint.
You'll find out, though.
Although I do drive a relatively efficient vehicle. Not like you two, but...
Your carbon footprint is even larger if you have to go twice and it costs even more.
It's working.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going anyplace. Because nobody came. And I didn't let them know that we already.
One second, let me look at it.
It's temporary. I don't think it's temporary. We didn't have a
word anymore. All right, I'll
fight you.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. I just think it would be nice, though,
because then you have some continuity.
It's not a bad idea to maybe even make that.
Otherwise, you keep people, and they're not going to know what he said.
It should
that.
Be probably a 2-year plan. It can't be longer than your term.
What? You're right.
But I think...
Buildings
It's a fun place.
You can ride the Polar
Express. The snow.
It's already snowing on the way here. It'll snow right through Utica to here.
What is your?
Not so much here, but
my email is FTAN.
And we're supposed to get in that lot 6 inches. That's the thing that's scary is they said 22-mile-an-hour winds, which that's
going to be. You can't control the weather, right?
Yeah. No, I can't even control my family.
See you later. See you
all right, take care.
Sorry, Richard wanted to... Richard, I should have told everybody, apologized. He... They canceled school, and he was sitting home in front of the fire, and... Because I said, are you coming? And he says, yeah, I'll be there by 7. And he sent it to me at 6:59, and I was like, tonight?
That's funny.
And he goes, oh, I screwed up. So I'm copying that one thing.
So you give those packages to her then?
No, they're right.
Where?
Right by the door. I gotta give them to her.
take this engagement letter and copy it.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Did I give it to you?
No, you kept it.
Because you were busy. You were getting busy removing that comment.
Yeah. I'm not sure where.
How that comment evolved.
Because even on workdays, it looks fine.
I'm not kidding you. I know she gave it to me. Engagement letter you gave me.
Oh.
I think